As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me and a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's this church I can go to hear the word of God, and a preacher who loves you and spares not the rod. We sing your praise together in love and harmony. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Someday when life is over and we meet our precious one, we'll pause to thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. We'll give you praise together throughout eternity. Then I'll stop and thank you, Jesus, for your blessings on me. We are all truly blessed. You know, where would we be without the Lord?
Lord, helping God, I pray.
We would be lost.
Lord Jesus, help me, Lord.
We would have, as you've already heard, a home waiting for us that I wouldn't be up here trying to convince people to go to.
Lord, helping God.
You know, I was at home this morning, and I had just got on the computer, and I saw something.
Helping Jesus, we pray.
I hollered at my wife. I wanted to tell her about this. It was something, I don't know, about how your email address, you know, tells you kind of what you are, like what, you know, the world's always coming up with something to separate and do this it's, I guess it's for advertising reasons, you know, but they want to know who they're targeting, I guess.
Lord, help.
And just by what kind of email address you have, it told this is probably the way you are. And you got to understand that I got into this and I was kind of intrigued reading down through there, because, like, you know, your major ones are like, I'm sure you all probably heard of American Online. And it goes through, and I can't remember all of them, but it says something like, you know, you were probably a woman between the age of 18 and 34. And you know, it listed a couple of qualities about you. But one of the qualities, it says you were spiritual, but not religious. Then it goes on to, like, Hotmail. It goes on to say, you know, you're probably, you know, a male, and you probably maybe have graduated from high school or college. And it goes on, it says, you're not religious. Then it goes on to, like, Yahoo, and it went on to to all, it covered like, the, you know, I think the four major ones. And the common thing that they had was that you were not religious. You know, that stood out to me. On a couple of them, I think, brothers, it said that you were spiritual.
Help me, God, please, Lord.
Brother Junior, but you're not religious.
And,
you know, I couldn't help but think when I saw that. Many years ago, I wonder, you know, if they'd had email back 40 years ago, how would it have been? You know, I have to believe that it wouldn't have been if you were religious or not. It would have been, you know, were you a Baptist? Were you this or were you that? But now, it's come down to where, you know, and that was, you know, and they surveyed so many hundreds of thousands of people.
Help him, Lord, please, dear God.
But you see, what it come out to was you were not religious. That's the world we live in today. And you know, it has been replaced a little bit with, you know, I'm spiritual. Have you ever heard that? I'm spiritual.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't go to church or anything, but I'm a very, very spiritual person. I've heard that so much, I'm kind of sick of it, because everybody seems like they're spiritual.
Yeah.
Now, what that really means, if you're spiritual, you see, what that really means is that you've found your own way, and you're happy with that way, and it agrees with your lifestyle, and you can do it and not have to give up anything. You see, that's being spiritual. And I want you to understand, friends, that being spiritual won't get you to heaven. It won't do it. The Bible teaches me that there is only one way that will get you to heaven, and that is through and by Jesus Christ. You see, friends, I want you to know today, that friends, you've heard about people saying that they are very spiritual, or they're this, or they're that. Brother Junior, one of the favorite ones that I like to hear, or that I hear, is that they'll say, I believe in God. I want you to understand, friends, the very thing that comes back out of my mouth is that even the devil believes in God. But I want you to understand that don't help him any. I want you to understand today, friends. I believe that this Bible teaches us. You see, when it says that you must believe, it's not a head thing. It's not with the natural mind. Oh, you see, friends, I believe that it's saying that you must, from the heart, put all of your trust and all of your faith in what Jesus Christ did about 2,000 years ago. You see, friends, I want you to understand today that the brother in here said, I believe, Brother Terry, he said that, you know, that works without, or faith without works is empty faith. It's dead. I want you to understand today, back in those days, what was happening, I guess, was people were coming, they were saying, yep, I believe.
Yeah.
And they were going right back out to the world and they hadn't changed anything.
No,
you see, and so he challenged them basically, you show me your faith without any works. And I'll show you my faith by my works, you know. I want you to understand. I believe in the Bible where it tells me in Ephesians chapter 2 where it tells me I'm not saved by my works, and I'm not. I want you to understand I'm saved by the grace of God, by what Jesus done. He done all the good works that needed to be done. But I want to get across to you today, friends, is that if you truly believe, just having an acknowledgement of God, that's not going to cut it. You see, friends, true faith and true belief will cause a change in your life. It will cause you to do things differently. You see, friends, whenever you truly believe, I like to put it like this. You see, there are some people, there are some people, and there's probably some in here that like to maybe smoke. Now, I don't know if they do it anymore, but I know years ago they used to put packs on there. or something on the package that said, this may cause cancer.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do, but it was on there. Now, those of you that do smoke, and I'm not preaching on smoking, please understand that. This is an illustration. My wife, she loves it whenever I give analogies. But whenever you pick up that, you see it, you know about it, you've heard it, it's been there, no doubt somebody has told you, you're going to get cancer if you do that. So you have heard it, you've seen it, and you say, yeah, I believe that. But what you're really saying is, you know, I don't really believe that. That's something that happens to somebody else. That's not something that happens to me. That's something that's going to happen to somebody else on down the road. Yeah, it may cause cancer, but it's not 100%. It's not going to. Well, my grandpa smoked for 85 years. He never got it, so you know. Y'all know anybody like that? Maybe you're like that or something. You see, what I want you to understand is that's the way people are doing with God. They'll say, well, my grandpa, he was a preacher for 50 years in the regular Bible. Hey, you know, I know all about him. But you see, friends, just like that, the label on that package of tobacco. You see, you're looking at it, you've acknowledged it, but you've ignored it. And you're going on and you're saying that's going to happen to somebody else. Friends, I want you to understand today that I'm telling you, no, it's not just going to happen to somebody else. It's going to happen to you too. And what I mean by that is the Bible teaches me that 100% of everybody is going to die. And the Bible teaches me that how you die, friends, that's how you're going to be resurrected. Friends, right now, while you have a chance, I believe that the Bible teaches me that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. But friends, you have to do something. You see, you can't work your way in. You can't do enough good work. The Bible teaches me in here that there was one that in the day when the Lord returns, friends, there's going to be people that says they've done many wonderful works. There's going to be people that says, I've cast out devils in your name. There's going to be people that have cried, Lord, Lord, I have prophesied in your name. But Jesus is going to tell them, depart from me. And get this part, he's going to say, you that work iniquity. You see, I want you to get it. I want you to understand that you see, friends, any work you do outside of Jesus Christ, it's not good work at all. The Bible teaches me that that we become His craftsmanship unto good works. You see, I can't do nothing without God. I can't do anything without Christ. If I do anything without Jesus, I've done it in vain. It ain't a good work at all. Oh, but friends, I want you to understand. You see, friends, I want you to know that whenever the Lord is calling, friends, I know I've come out here and I've been in church services before and I've said, there's no way I can live the way you brothers do. I can't do it. It's foolish. You don't have to do that. You see, friends, but I was making excuses for myself. I was justifying myself. I had a little bit of that self-righteousness, you see. And friends, I want you to know it's easier to sit back and to pick on somebody's faults than to look at what they're really telling you. You see, but I would sit out here and I would look. I would look up here and I would point my finger and I would say, I don't have to be that way. Oh, but I want you to understand, friends. Whenever I heard that little knock, and whenever I heard that little still voice, I want you to understand, friends. You see, I was brought to a place, Brother Terry, where I was willing to do anything to get some relief of the burdens. And friends, I want you to understand, it don't take 50 years to get saved. It don't take the Lord no time to save you. But friends, what He has said, He has told in His Word that you must must repent, friends, and that is a change of mind. You can't think the way you always thought. You can't live the way you've always lived. You can't do the things that you've always done and expect to get saved. It don't work that way. God done everything for you, but He's asked you to repent. He has commanded you. Oh, men everywhere. You see, He winked at ignorance once, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent, to change your mind, to change your ways, and to look to Christ and to accept what He's done. And whenever you put all your trust, you've already heard people saying, get yourself out of the way. Get thyself out of the way. You see, the Bible teaches that you must deny yourself. You have to. Because you see, friends, you can't hang on to the world or your old ways. I want you to understand. You see, we understand.
Yeah.
We do, because we were out there too. Now, were we not?
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I enjoyed it when I was out there.
Oh,
I sure did. I enjoyed the things that I was doing. That's why I didn't want to change.
I
enjoyed it. I loved darkness rather than the light. And yes, sir, brother, when that light shined to me, I went running. I didn't want to come to it. Well, that's no fun admitting that I can't do what I want to do and I have to change my ways and that I'm evil. I didn't want to think of myself that way. But you see, friends, I want you to understand. You see, the good Lord has made a way for you. You see, there was no way. We were completely cut off. And now there is a way. And that way is Jesus Christ. But you must put your complete faith in Him. You see, I read back in the Old Testament. You see, I read back there whenever Moses led them out of Egypt. You see, they come out of there, and boy, I tell you, could you imagine that? Could you imagine seeing all those plagues and then the Lord leading you out, that cloud there in front of you, leading you out, keeping shade during the day and the fire at night to keep you warm? Could you imagine that? Let me ask you, do you think you would ever doubt God then? This is how people are, though, aren't they? And then coming down to a big body of water, a sea down there. And here comes Pharaoh's army charging in on you. God holding them back. And again, making a way for your escape. I want you to understand, friends, you see, that's where we were. That's exactly where each one of us were. You see, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. We were right there, and death was closing in. And friends, I want you to understand, we had no escape. There was no way out. We were doomed. But by God's love, by the grace of the Almighty, He came to my rescue. Friends, He came to your rescue. He parted the waters. He made a way. And that way today still stands. That way still reigns today. And friends, but I want you to understand something. There is coming a day when those waters are going to come crashing in. It's going to happen. The Bible says it's going to happen. Oh, but you see, I've got good news. Oh, friends, those that trust in God's way and those that take that step of faith, you know, think about this. We sometimes neglect this, but when you go walking out into waters that have been parted, that's a scary thing. You have to trust that it's going to stay open, you know? Yeah, I mean, because if you get out in the middle, just like look at Pharaoh and his armies. Oh, you see, they didn't trust God. They didn't believe God. I want to tell you something, friends. I want you to understand something. Only those that trust God can make it. Only those that put their complete trust in God can make it. And I want you to understand something. I believe that God loves you. I believe that He made the way. And I believe what this Bible says. And friends, I want you to understand this word right here teaches me that if you put your complete trust in Him, and notice, I'm not preaching against works. I'm not doing that. But I'm telling you this. I've never said one time that you have to work your way in.
No.
You trust in the one that did the work. You trust in Jesus Christ. And friends, He'll make you a new creature. He'll get you across. He'll get you to safe ground.
There you go.
I want you to understand, He's the captain of my ship. You see, I don't get up there and try to drive because I will wreck us. Oh no, you see, I've got the captain. Brother Willie, my church, he puts it like this. He says, I've heard people say that Jesus is my co-pilot. And he always says that if you ever say that, then what he's going to say is, you need to switch seats. You see, I believe that. Jesus is my pilot. He's my pilot. Jesus is my captain. He's the one that's directing my path. Because you see, friends, the Bible teaches me that in here, friends, there is a broad road. And that broad road, oh, friends, don't get me wrong, to the nature, friends, to the natural life and mind, oh, it looks so pretty. And you see, you can be spiritual on that path. You can be. You can be real spiritual. And you can believe in God, and you can not offend. You can believe in these other gods too. And you can travel right down that road, but the Bible says that that road leads to something. And so if you choose to travel, and I do believe a choice. I don't know how everybody else believes, but I tell you, I believe that there's a choice. I want you to understand something. God made a way. He done the work, and He gives you a choice. And I want you to understand, friends. I want you to understand this. You see, not only is there a broad road, and the Bible says that there'll be many on that road.
Yes, there will be.
But then there's this straight gate, and it's a narrow path. It leads to something too. And the Bible teaches me that it leads to life. And I want you to understand, friends, that the Bible says there'll be few, very few, that find it. Now, I want you to get that into your mind because, you know, there's a lot of different things going around today. And I have to believe the numbers of the people that are getting up, Brother Terry, and preaching Jesus as the only way is getting smaller and smaller.
You got it right, brother. You got it right.
And I want you to understand something. This word, you know, people are trying to change it. Change it to this and change it to that. But it stands. It's going to stand. I like to put it like this. You know, people say, I've heard people say, well, I don't believe it the way you do. I don't believe it the way you do. You know, it didn't matter what you believe. What Adam did affected you. I'm sure there was people running around saying, oh, garden, I don't believe in none of that. But you know what? They died anyway, didn't they? It didn't matter what they believed, they still died. Now I got some good news for you, friends. I got some real good news for you. Right now, it doesn't matter if you don't believe in Jesus the way we're telling you to believe in Jesus. Because here's the thing. What Jesus did affected you. Now He's given you that opportunity. And if you were like me and you believed in God, I believed in God my whole life, but I didn't trust. But He gave me an opportunity. He gave me a chance. And He gave me another chance. And I want you to understand, friends, He gave me enough chances. Oh, but friends, I want you to know today. You see, friends, you need to take advantage of what He's given you. The good news is even if you don't believe right now, if you don't trust in Jesus right now, friends, I believe that He's still standing at the door knocking. You see, friends, I read in here whenever Jesus hung on the cross. You see, they had crucified Him. They had spit upon Him. They had whipped Him. They had made Him carry a cross up a hill. And friends, they put nails and spikes in Him. But I want you to understand that even though they didn't believe, He asked the Father at that time, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A friend's God's mercy is endless. But I will say, there is coming a time when He will step off that throne of mercy. Right now, friends, is the time. Right now is the only time for you to step away from sin, to step to Christ while He's calling you. I want you to understand exactly what I'm saying. Right now is the time. You know, if you don't fully trust God as being the only way, fully trust Jesus Christ, right now you have an opportunity to fully put your trust in Him. Right now. You're not promised another time. We're not promised. You know, there was a bad storm come through here.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, there's going to be a bad storm that's going to come one day. And we don't know when that's going to be. We really don't. Like I said, when I read that and it says non-religious, non-religious, non-religious on all of them, you know, the Bible says there'll be a great falling away. I want you to understand, I believe we are, you know, Jesus spoke so plainly. And when I read back here in Acts what they were doing, they were selling off everything that they had. And they were giving it to the church. You see, they didn't have any need for any of that. Because they really thought that here tomorrow or today or before the end of this week, Jesus is coming back for me. See, they didn't care about these earthly. See, I've yet to see a new car get somebody to heaven. I've yet to see a big house get them there. I want you to understand, you see, friends, they were giving away everything they had because they had no need of it. You see, there was a rich man came to Christ one time. And this man came to Christ and he wanted to know what he, you know, what do you have to do to inherit eternal life? You see, friends, Jesus told him. He said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. You see, he knew exactly what that man coveted. Right there, he knew what that man coveted.
Sure did.
You see, he coveted something more than he coveted, more than the love he had for Christ. He had something else that he wanted more. And I want you to understand, you know, Jesus said, you see, the foxes have holes, and the tree, or the birds, they have nests. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. And I want you to understand, this was the Son of God. This was God in the flesh.
There you go, brother.
You know, He could have at any time said, I want this. And it would have been there. You see, but what He was telling that rich man, you see, He was telling him, go and sell everything you got. You got no need of that. You want to follow Me? You have to go and sell it because I'm not going to set up a mansion here and have people come to me. I'm going to go out to the people. I love the people. I'm going to be about My Father's business. You have no need of these things if you're going to follow Me. Sell it all. Then pick up your cross and follow Me then because Jesus, He loved the people enough that He went to them. He told them, and friends, I want you to know today that He loves you enough. That He'll save you from the hellfire that's to come, from eternity separated from the love of God. He'll save you from that.
Yes, sir.
He's made a way for you. And I want you to know today that if you're here today and the Lord has saved you, you ought to give Him thanks. You ought to praise Him. If you haven't, friends, I want you to understand. You see, a lot of people say, I know I need to get God in my life.
How you get Him out?
That's my point exactly. Yeah. God's in your life.
He's already there.
Regardless of what you think, God is in your life. He's there. He cares about you. You see, hell is a place of torment. And you see, I've always preached this. Now I'll get out of the way. I've always preached this. You see, death is a separation. We had a funeral here today, one of our members had passed away. Good old saint. And that's what I told him, you know. Death is just a separation. Somebody who dies here in this world, they're separated from the natural living. It's a separation. But you see, there's a second death. You see, Jesus came and He tasted death for every man. You see, and now that second death hath no power over me.
There you go.
I don't have to be concerned about that now. Oh, I want you to understand how good that is. Because you see, friends, that second death is an eternal separation from the love of God. It's what it is. You see, and when we start thinking about that, you start thinking about right now how evil this world is getting. It's still got God in it, though. So it's not as evil as what it could be. Now you think about this little place called hell that's enlarging its borders every day.
Seeing and doing it.
I want you to understand how bad do you think that place is. And there's no hope. There's no chance. It's torment. Is what the rich man said. He's tormented in that flame. And then there's going to come a time when death and hell, they're going to give up their dead. See? And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That bottomless pit he was telling you about. And that is the second death. And that second death is eternal. It's eternal. And it's eternal separation from the love of God. Now, I want you to understand, sometimes I try to think about heaven. Brother Jimmy, I try to think about, you know, I can't imagine really. With this natural mind, I can't imagine.
Yeah, we can't.
Now, here's something else for you to think about. And I want you to know, I don't have the gift to try to scare somebody. I can't, you know. If the Holy Spirit can, if he convicts you, okay, I'm happy with that. But I want you to try to understand something. Try to imagine what hell is really like. You can't. You can't.
It's worse than that.
It's worse. It's a lot worse. Because like we say, God is here. He is in your life. He gives you mercy every day. He gives all of us mercies. But I want you to understand, there is a mercy out there that will save your ever dying soul from that destruction that the broad road will give you. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So think about that. Death is the separation of God. That's what it is. So the wages of sin, what you earn by sinning, is an eternity separated from the love of God. But the gift of God, oh, is eternal life.
A gift, now not the earned.
That's right, it's a gift. Eternal life. And the Bible teaches me that there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God.
I'm convinced.
I want you to, and I want you to be convinced. I don't want you to be like the King Agrippa who was almost persuaded. You know, I like to put it like this. He almost went to heaven. Almost. I want you to be fully persuaded. And when you're fully persuaded, God will make the change. He will born you with that spirit that no man can do. God loves you. I love you. Thank you for inviting me. I hope I haven't bored you. But I want you to understand. I try to do what the Lord wants me to do and I fall short. I still depend on His mercy, His grace. But I do love you. I can say that from the bottom of my heart because the Lord has born me with love. He's born me with His Spirit. And I want to tell people about the greatness of God. Because He deserves all of our praise. God bless you.